Do you remember that commercial on TV? It's a number of years old. It's about Dan Marino. You know, Dan Marino was a quarterback for who? The Dolphins. And he used to sell isotope gloves. And Dan Marino always says he buys isotope gloves for his offensive linemen because you got to take care of the hands that take care of who? You. Dan said, if my offensive line had a really good game and didn't get sacked, I took him out for a steak dinner. I guess it'd be worth it rather than being hit by some defensive lineman. You're just going to take care of the hands that take care of you. There is a young pastor who received a call in a rural parish on the country. And to stay in shape every day, he jogged 4 or 5 miles. And he realized as he jogged, there was a pickup truck that rode by him on the same road. And they passed each other. And I think the driver of the pickup truck finally came to know who that young man jogging down those country roads were. And one day, the man in the pickup truck, he saw the young pastor jogging, and he pulled up to him and kept at the same speed, and he rolled down the window, and he looked at the young pastor and said, "Oh, so this is what people do who don't work for a living to stay in shape." Sometimes we ask, what do pastors and teachers do all day? I've been asked that many times. What do pastors do all day? Well, if you are asking that question, what I'd like you to do is meet me at my office 9:15 on Monday morning, and I want you to hang out with me the entire week, and Sunday after late service gets over, you may go home. But before you do so, you can then answer the question, what do pastors what? Do all day? Because some people think pastors have the best jobs in the world, they only work what? One day a week. Come and find out the same could be said for teachers. Have you ever considered the life of a teacher or a pastor? Now, these aren't true, but they're very close to being true. Pastor visits someone in a hospital, their family doing 2 major surgeries, 1 minor surgery. Then on the way home for supper, he finds out a very active family has had a car accident. There's a person who is seriously hurt. All on the same day. Teaching all day, then phone calls with parents and still grading papers after supper. That's the life of a school teacher. Are there any educators out there? I think you can identify with that. Or dealing with disgruntled members or parents on top of all else. Pastor, the sermon was too long. Pastor, somebody's picking on my kid in Sunday school. What about this committee and what about that committee? And someone's picking on my kid in the playground. The life of a pastor or a teacher. Or having to inform others or classmates that a loved one, a near loved one, has died. And maybe calling the staff together early in the morning or going into the classroom and saying, well, your classmate, their father was killed in a car crash or someone else died near to them. Have you ever considered what a pastor and a teacher must face day to day? And so God says this for pastors and teachers and as well as for the rest of us. In Genesis 1, so on the 7th day, God did what? Say it. Well, if Almighty God can rest, what can everybody else do? Rest. And Jesus says, come to me and get some what? Rest. Jesus says, take my yoke, it's light and easy. And that's just not for pastors and teachers, but that's for all of us. So we continue our sermon series based on our small group Bible study, I'm a Member of the Church. And this week, I will pray for my church leaders, based upon the book and the chapter by Tom S. Rainer. There you see a cover of the book. So we will pray for them. This is from Francis A. Schaeffer Institute of Church Leadership. Here's some statistics. The percentage of pastors and church leaders who are burned out. Take a guess, 71%. Do you know what it means to be what? Burned out, fried, tired, can't be pushed anymore. This percentage of pastors and church leaders report working between 55 and 70 hours a week. Once again, I'm not just talking about pastors, I'm talking about church workers and teachers. Anyone take a guess at the percentage? 90%. When I came here during the call process, being around the block a couple times, I asked the elders and the church leaders how many hours they asked they would like me to serve each week. And so I typed out a little form. I said, 55 hours, 60 hours, 65 hours, 70 hours, 75 hours, 75 hours plus. Do you know what the majority of the elders and the church leaders said? How many hours? Anyone take a guess? 55 hours.
They are very kind.
That's true. I wish it could be 55 hours. Pastors, percentage of pastor church leaders believe that their ministry has negative effects on their family. That would be 80%. True, percentage of seminary and graduating educators, we can put this into the public school teacher realm as well. 80% of seminary and graduating educators will leave their ministry within 5 years. Same for education. So there's a teacher shortage. Teachers will leave the teaching profession after less than 5 years. What percentage, here's the most shocking, what percentage of pastors, church workers, will actually retire as a minister in some form? Anyone want to take a guess? Throw it out. 10%. So if you have a young pastor who graduates from the seminary, gets a call at 27, 28, 10% of them will retire as a pastor. Most will move on. And what percentage of pastors, church workers, feel unable to meet the demands of the job? That's 80%. This is from the Schaefer Institute in Church Leadership. Now, I'm sure this stress isn't probably a whole lot different than where many of you other work. Let's say we all have stressful jobs, but just to bring that to point. So, pray for church leaders. Can you read that Bible verse with me? Go ahead. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. So St. Paul says, pray for your pastors. Pray for your church leaders. Likewise, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, St. Paul says, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the world. Colossians. And brothers and sisters, Paul tells them in Thessalonians, pray for us, pray for your leaders. Why? Well, there's three areas to pray for. One is pray for the pastors of church workers' lives. Pray for their families. Do you know what I mean when I say life in a fishbowl? Do you know what I mean by that? What's life in a fishbowl? Everyone gets to see what you do. See, pastors and teachers and church workers, we live life in a what? Fishbowl. Get to see me 24/7. What's a pastor doing? It's life in a fishbowl. Wherever you go, there's eyes on you. So what are your expectations for the pastor, the church workers, for their spouse and their families? Do we have expectations? What happened if you would read my children's name in a newspaper because they're in trouble with the law? How would that be? Do we have expectations how they would behave? In our small group Bible study, and I'd have to agree with them, most people would expect of the pastors and church workers' families that their children are probably a little bit better what? Behaved. Well, you're the pastor's son, aren't you? You're the pastor's daughter, aren't you? Hey, you're the teacher's kid. You're supposed to be what? Yeah, better behaved. We have sometimes those expectations. And many times a neglected family member, it's somewhat awkward, could be the wife or the spouse. Now, many times throughout my parishes I served, people have went up to my lovely wife and said, thanks for sharing your what? Thanks for sharing your husband with us. Thank you. And so many times, the neglected family member is a spouse. They're expected to be omnipresent, to be everywhere, but yet don't share their what? Opinion. So be everywhere at once, but we sort of want you to be in the background, but we want you there at the same time. And many times being a pastor's wife is selfless. Can't tell you how many times, 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call and it's time to what? Someone's been in an accident. Someone has died unexpectedly. There's some sort of crisis somewhere. And so the church worker's spouse, many times, is a selfless role. I'll have to give me up. Even on Christmas, even on Easter, there have been tragedies and there's been death there. And sometimes they're a painful observer to what's happening. With all love, sometimes for a pastor's wife or church worker's wife to go to a congregational assembly isn't the best place to be. So pray for your pastor's and church worker's family. Then pray for them, pray for their protection, because they're born with a target on their back. Can you read this with me? Go ahead. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. And that's what Paul calls of pastors and elders in the church, and even, yes, church workers. Did any of you have to read that for when you got hired, wherever you got hired? Was that part of your job description? But guess whose job description that is? Let's break that down. What does it mean to be above reproach? You shouldn't be able to find fault with a pastor. Now, many people would say, well, that's easy, Pastor. I'm writing them down. I'll share them with you after the service, okay? It's easy to find fault. Doxology is a continuing education ministry for pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm going to their conference in July. I went to their conference many years ago. Doxology says this: the pastor is the person with the highest moral responsibility in any social setting. So whether I'm at a ball game, whether I'm at Kroger's, whether I'm out and about, who has the highest moral responsibility? That's part of the call. I understand that. That's part of that. I had a pastor's family member say this, that their father, their pastor doesn't live life in a fishbowl. They live life under the what? Microscope. What do you think of the sermon? Well, how'd you like the Bible study? Has been able to see everyone? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I'm sure some of you in leadership positions feel the same way. So pray for your pastors for their protection. Can you read this next Bible verse with me? Go ahead. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. See, the devil sets traps. There's great temptation. What do you mean by that? Well, if King David was a man after God's own heart, if King David was someone who loved God dearly and God knew who he was, but yet King David could go up on a roof and there see Bathsheba bathing, and we know the adultery and murder that followed. The devil does set traps, and pastors sometimes can get caught in a snare. Now, the next question there is a little uncomfortable. Have you ever heard of that devastation to any church or church school in this area, where the media has been brought in, where there has been consternation, where there has been somewhat of a immoral behavior that's known to the outsiders? That really hurts the family. Pray for your pastors, because there's a target in the back and the devil is looking for a fall. There's nothing more that the devil would like to do than bring down your pastor and your church workers. And finally, pray for your pastor, church workers' physical and mental health. Have you ever had the burden of caring for someone? Maybe an elderly parent or a grandparent, or maybe a disabled child. You ever have a burden of doing that? Or maybe you care for a child who might have some difficulties, or a child who's been abused. You ever have that burden of caring for that person? Sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do. Or what about ministering to a person? And this is the first time it happened to me. I got a phone call about 10:30 at night. Pastor, you need to go to the ER. So I showed up at the ER, and there I met a young family. And by the time I sat down and said, what's going on? The doctor came into the room, and their teenage child, the doctor said we did all we could. The teenage child was in an accident and died. That sort of shook me up. The next Sunday, I had a hard time following through with everything. You ever had the burden of caring for someone else? Well, think about your pastors and church workers. What happens when there's two funerals in the same week? Sees the hurt of the family. Can't really take it in because there's so much to be taken in. But there's a burden of caring for someone else. Pray for their strength. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I will be judged more strictly than you. I don't know what that looks like because I haven't died yet. But God does say, I've entrusted you to souls I sent to you. That's where I want to be judged. Did you do your best with what you had with the souls I sent to you? Now, sometimes pastors are 24/7 pastors and church workers. At times they get called for my day off. Someone's having a heart attack. I never said, well, today's my day off. I can't say that. Now, if somebody's calling me up to ask where the cups are for the next activity, don't call me on a Friday for that, please. Don't, okay? If you ever notice when I go on vacation and you're starting to get to know me, where do I go on vacation? Say it. Far away. Not in a galaxy far, far away. That would be with C-3PO and Darth. But I usually try to get what? Why? I'm totally disconnected. There's other people here. So pastors sometimes and church workers have jobs that work days, evenings, and weekends. Pray for your pastors and church leaders for an infinite amount of decisions. Lots of decisions to be made. What do you think about these hymns? Well, what about this? What about starting this? What can we do about this? A number of decisions. A few years ago, a church member called me up and said, "Pastor, I have a problem." I said, "You have a few minutes?" "Yeah, sure." So I tried to clear my mind. I said, "Fire away." "Pastor, this Sunday, it's somebody's birthday. I'm wondering if I can bring in some chocolate cake to share with in between the service group. However, the problem is we have hundreds of donuts that come in for everybody else, and I don't know what I should do. Should we cancel the donuts and have the chocolate cake? Or should I not have chocolate cake so we have the donuts? What do you think I should do, Pastor?" "I don't know." "If you cancel the donuts, the donut shop might lose money, right? If you don't have the chocolate cake, the person selling the birthday might be offended, right?" Guys, think about that little sixth grade kid that was a lot like me. He might have a donut, chocolate cake, and too much sugar to go into Sunday school. He's going to be all wound up. I don't know what to do. See what I did? Oh, we'll just have both. Okay. Somebody in the previous service said, "Good choice, Pastor." So sometimes we're asked for an infinite amount of decisions. As being a church work can be a burden joy. Nothing hurts more when somebody leaves the church and says, "Pastor, I'm just not being spiritually fed. This church isn't meeting my need." That hurts. And sometimes when you're at a wedding reception, there's joy. Or when someone says, "Thanks for touching my life," there's joy. So pray for your pastors. Pray for your family. Pray for their protection. And pray that God gives them wisdom. Pray for your pastors and church workers, because you're really taking care of the hands that what? Take care of you. Pray for them. I was at a pastor's conference last October in Columbus, and the presenter was on this very topic, and he brought up this point. Jesus, the perfect shepherd and church worker. Can you read the Bible verse with me? "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Do you see the sheep there in Jesus' arms? Who is that? Who is that? Us and who? Me. Also your pastor. Also your teachers and church workers. We're all being held by a good shepherd. And so, how about this for a closing thought? I'll read it to you. If the Holy Spirit moves and stirs your heart, let it. "I am a church member. I'll pray for my pastor and church leaders every day. I understand that the pastor church worker's work is never ending. Their days are filled with numerous demands that brings highs and lows. They must deal with critics. They must be good spouses and parents. Because they cannot do all things by their power, I will pray for their strength daily." And by God's grace, all God's people say, Amen.